Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this episode of FPL Family. I'm Lee. This is Sam. Welcome to the show. We've got loads to discuss. Loads to discuss. Not least the FPL Family Derby, which I know you guys want us to get into, and we will. We will be getting into that. We got to start with a couple of things. One was we're in the middle of the game week, right? This is, we always do this 8:30 on a Sunday night. As you know, it's the only time we can stream during the week. But
we've only had 8 games so far.
8 games only. So we've still got plenty of football to go in game week 34. So we are mid-game week. Hence, on the thumbnail, I've put something about how do we navigate the rest of the season. Because talking about this game week and therefore what we're going to do in game week 35, we can hint at it and suggest it. But we are mid-game week, no doubt about it. And by the way, congratulations to everybody that tripled on Brighton. Because I just noticed I was coming in. Right, we all did the right thing, didn't we? Tripling on Brighton. Because I've noticed the three top performers for underlying BPS this week. Welbeck, Undav and Gross. So well done, because everyone's tripled on Brighton. So you've got at least, what, 2 or 3 of those, I'm sure? All picked the wrong Brighton players, didn't we? Who knew?
Well, hang on. Let's not be saying we all picked the wrong Brighton players.
True.
Because
There are some Undav owners out there.
Well, also, there's a certain Mr. Estupiñán who is...
Oh, yes.
...actually played
Did
well,
right.
And most of us have got him. So, we picked the wrong attacking players. I think you could get away with that statement.
Yes.
But I think you're doing Estupiñán a disservice if you say all the wrong players.
Some proper goals knocking about this weekend, though. Not least Pascal Gross's second. Did you see that? Was it first or his second? One where he teed himself up and boshed it outside of the foot, Pedro Porro style from last week. Very, very good goal. So lots to discuss in terms of the football, lots to discuss in terms of our overall ranks and where we're at. As I said before, plenty of football still to go. And of course, we're going to be talking about the FPL Family Derby and what that means for us in FPL going forward. Let's say hello to a few people. We do have to say hello to FPL Harry, who is in ad moderating. As I mentioned before, just as we were sorting out the camera there, 165th in the world. I think when we were here last week, he was 212th. So again, that is a, like, at that end of the spectrum, that is not an insignificant jump to get from 212 to 165.
No, that's a good percentage, isn't it?
Harry, that is unreal, mate. Really, really
any
good.
Any chip, Harry? I don't think so. I think he's used them all.
Don't know. But listen, he's flying. And I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen, like, an FPL content creator. Like, we've tended to get, and we have got in the past, FPL managers that have done very, very well, and they've become a content creator on the back of doing very, very well. I don't think we've ever seen a content creator do quite as well as this. I think Raptor's been up there this sort of the season, last season maybe.
Yeah.
Focal, although I think Oscar didn't he do well and then became a content creator? I don't know. But Harry, absolutely brilliant, mate. 212 last week, 165 this week.
He needs to have something to smile about,
so
though,
good.
Doesn't he?
So, so good. He's saying Bruno did it. There we go. Bruno Fernandes. Okay. A brilliant differential. Scott Schrager is in. How are we doing, Scott? Nice to see you. The OG is in. We've got Nigel the Crab, as usual. Simon is here and a member of the channel. Simon, nice to see you. Lukey Boy, 123. Lee is a Pedro Porro super fan.
What is it with you and Pedro Porro? You do seem to be obsessed by him.
I don't know. I had him in a free hit, didn't I, last week? Which
That's what
was
I mean.
A couple
and
of weeks
you mentioned
ago.
Him straight away on this podcast.
Don't mind Pedro Porro. He was actually all right today as well, I thought.
You're a bit obsessed. Anyway. I think you're fanboying him a little bit, yeah.
Could be. Yeah, could
Maybe
be.
You're his only fan.
John Tyner, how are we doing? Will Jota play next game? Well, listen, on the basis that a lot didn't pick him going into the double game. I know a lot of you did transfer in Diogo Jota going into this game week, but there were some comments from Klopp, wasn't there, in his press conference about he maybe picked up a bit of a knock against West Ham. Was it West Ham? Where did he play? West Ham. And he picked up a bit of a knock in his back and maybe wasn't going to play. But then, you know, did come on, got the goal, looked in pretty good nick from what I could see. So I would suggest he's probably in contention, I would say, at least to start the next game. So those of you that have got him in your team, if you did go for Diogo Jota, well done, because he's got the points and I think he's probably in contention to start the next game. Wheelie X is in. Hey Wheelie, how are we doing? The real MK, Daniel Banks, Trippier and Raya letting people down this week. Yeah, Trippier
again
is letting people down, as he has tended to do in recent weeks. But I can tell you, if you are a Trippier owner like myself and yourself, you can consider yourself a little bit unlucky. Top in the game week so far for chances created with 5, and top by a long way for crosses with 16. Second best, to put it into context, is Harrison from Leeds with 10. So Trippier owners a little bit unlucky not to get any points so far this game week. Who else we got? Mienna Sidholm. Hey Mienna, how are you doing? We've got John Robert Knight. 60 points with triple captain Haaland. Looks good, John. Looking good. So loads of you in tonight. Welcome to the live stream. And if you're new to FPL Family and you're not yet subscribed to us, and our analytics do say, I have to say this, our analytics do say that quite a lot of you in the live chat aren't yet subscribed to the channel. So get over and press that subscribe button and hit a like button while you're there, because it helps us with all the algorithms, helps us to reach a wider audience and all that good stuff. All that good stuff. Sam, what do you want to do in terms of the games? Do you want to dive in to the FPL Family Derby, or do you want to build up to it? Because we've got lots to discuss. We've got to discuss Brighton. We've got to discuss Man City. We've got to discuss Man United. There's a lot of teams to go through, but where would you like to start?
I don't mind. I don't mind, really. We can start with it if you like.
Go on then. Go on then. Liverpool 4, Spurs 3 in an absolutely bonkers game. I don't know what it is about the Premier League at the minute, but in the last couple of weeks, there has been some absolutely bonkers games, and this was one. It was one, wasn't it? Go on. We got loads of thoughts, haven't we, between us? But go on, you start us off.
My view is that you won the first half an hour, we won the second half, and probably at the end a draw would have been the fairest thing.
Yeah. Should Diogo Jota have been sent off?
Yes.
Should Skippy been sent off?
Probably, yes.
Yeah, both could have been reds in my opinion, yeah.
Also learnt I'm never watching this game with Lee again. Because he was an absolute pain in my bottom.
You score a last minute winner against anyone.
It wasn't the last goal. It was what? The first three that you were a bit of
first
a,
three?
Bit was of I? A, oh, okay. Were you?
Well, we were very, very good.
I'm looking for a friend for next season to watch the game with. Anybody wants to adopt me on the FPL Family Derby Days next year?
Imagine if we'd have watched the Champions League final together. That'd have been a disaster.
No, we would have got divorced.
Oh, I think it would have happened.
That's why I went out, because we would have got divorced. It would not have ended well. But I had no
expectations of today. I thought it was going to be a pretty dull game, I'll be honest, today. I said to you a number of times in the lead up to the game, I'd give you 20 quid on 0-0 at half time, because I just thought our midfield three looked light. I thought, you'll sit back, wait to hit us on the counter-attack, we'll have loads of possession, it'll be a boring game.
No, and I said the opposite, because I said, we don't defend. We don't turn up in the beginning of games. We turn up half asleep, particularly weirdly at 4:30 on a Sunday. We just don't seem to be able to wake up at all in those ones. We turn up sort of like, oh, we've played 15 minutes. Mm. Oh, we're already 3-0 down.
What do you attribute that to? What's going on there? Because that's now 2 weeks in a row that's happened. So what's going on? Yeah.
Three games, because it happened against City, it happened against United, obviously it happened against Newcastle. But Newcastle was a tactical issue.
Stellini got that wrong, didn't he?
That was the fault of that one. Whereas against Manchester United and against Liverpool, they've just come out of the blocks very slowly. And I wonder whether that is in part because... I think there's a number of reasons you could attribute it to. One, it's been a factor for a lot of the season. You know, earlier on, if you think back to Spurs in the earlier part of the campaign, pre the World Cup, we constantly talked about how the first half of football, we were terrible. We'd show up at 60 minutes and somehow get something out of the game. And that seems to be a bit of a lethargy thing that we get in the beginning of these matches. And I don't know why, whether it's because they're too... I think at the moment, there's a lot of overthinking that's going on with Spurs in the beginning of matches. A lot of kind of like, obviously, right, they've had
Conte's, nervous, I thought.
Well, they've got Conte's tactics that they've had, then they swapped and they've got Stellini's tactics, and then he tried to do something different and that really threw them, and then they tried to go back again, and then they settled, and then they've got Mason, who's clearly now trying to do something slightly different again. And I do think that at the beginning of matches they just are a bit slow adapting to those changes, and then they get into it and then they're okay. But the problem is that against teams like Manchester United, like Liverpool, if you give these teams a 2 or 3 goal head start over you, it doesn't really matter what happens in the latter part of the game. You're never likely to win the game. Like against Manchester United, we called it back to the draw. Against you, we clawed it back to the draw and then annoyingly gave away one 99 seconds later, which is just frustrating. But I mean, I think that's going to be the issue for Spurs that's got to be fixed. But the reality is, I think that this will be a thing with Spurs for the remaining four games of the season.
You know, but you'll concede a lot of early goals, do you think, still?
I think we will, yeah, because I think that is the way that as we go through the next few weeks, the teams that we play maybe will be less gung-ho in their approach. Like Newcastle, there was a lot for them to come and go for it in that game up at St James's. because, of course, there was the top four thing that was at stake there. The same with Manchester United, and then the same with you.
Mm.
Now, some of the teams that we have coming up don't have that same, we need to beat this team because it's like a six-pointer.
Yeah.
So we might not get punished quite so much, but we will start slowly because that is, sadly, the Spurs' way at the moment. But then when we started to play, we played some really decent football. Mm. And it was like, oh, I'm getting a bit, it's a bit frustrating because you kind of sit there for 20, 25 minutes of the game and go, what has happened? Mm. And then you start to see the Spurs' tactics. And I think the positive thing that we can take from the game against Manchester United and then today against Liverpool is that Mason, they really do want to play for him. There's a real pride in what they're doing for him.
That for sure is a positive. If I were a Spurs fan, that I would take out that game. There was some fight and belief.
There's some fight,
which I haven't seen from Spurs for ages, right? And actually, it does feel as if they do want to play for Ryan Mason. And I've said this before to you, right? I've listened to podcasts with Ryan Mason. I've listened to a lot about how he's gone through his career, the terrible injury that he had when he was younger, and how that kind of, you know, he sort of ended his career, but he then sort of forged a path into management. I like him. I think he's going to be a really, really top manager. He's got a lot to learn tactically, but in terms of togetherness and bringing a group together, which I don't think you can't train that a lot of the time,
you
right?
Can't.
The bit that you can't train in a manager, I think he's got.
Yeah.
And the other stuff, he'll learn and he'll grow. He's really top. I think he's a top guy.
I mean, and I think when you think about what's going on with him at the moment in that circumstance that he's in, he's got a 3-week-old newborn baby at home, a hormonal wife likely, because we all are after giving birth. And then also, he's had to kind of cobble together a backroom staff.
Yeah.
He's pulled a
it's
couple.
It's not his fault he's in this position,
no,
right? He's just been asked to do it.
Yeah. He's just been asked to do this again. And this time, he doesn't have the backroom. So last time, he did have the backroom staff, or a lot of them he had there. This time, he's had to go to the under, like, he's got a load of the managerial staff, people from the under 21s and the under 19s. He's got them helping him out. So he's cobbled together this kind of staffing team to get him through the rest of the games of the season. But what we do have suddenly, and you can see it particularly in Son, I think Son's the prime example of this, is that in the past, over the last sort of couple of months, had we gone one down against a team, Son would have been like, oh, head down.
Yeah.
He would have kind of, he'd have gone back into his shell.
Almost fearing the bollocking he's going to get at half time, right? Because he would have got it from Conte,
and,
right?
And going, he just kind of reverted back into himself again. And you could see him not kind of play for the shirt at that point, which is so unlike Sonny. Because when he was away with Korea, he was still playing for the shirt.
Yeah.
But yet, flip this to today and to the game against Manchester United. Since Mason's been in charge, you can see him kind of go, okay, I'm needed, I'm required, I've got a man up. And he was making the runs, he was linking up nicely, he and Perisic weren't getting in each other's way. So I think that there is a lot of, as a Spurs fan, there's not often that you lose a game and you kind of go, well, there's quite a lot of positives I can take from that one. But this one, genuinely, there was. There's some fight from the players, there was some pride there. All right, the first 20 minutes were a disaster, but we clawed it back and there were some good goals in there, there were some good team plays in there. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's part of the reason I wanted to keep Kane, because in this system, under Mason, we are going to score goals because that's what he's playing.
Well, so here's the fixtures then for Spurs between now and the end of the season. And guys, we are running head first towards the end of the season. After this game week is done, the one we're currently in 34, obviously there's only 4 game weeks to go. Few doubles for other some teams. You know, Brighton have got a few, United, City, etc., as you can see on the screen. Spurs, no double game week, but listen, Palace at home coming up in 35. There will be a few Harry Kane sellers, me included, that are going to be worried about him for that game because, again, gets the goal again, ticks over. He feels pretty inevitable that he's going to get a goal a week. And then you've got Aston Villa away, difficult game on paper, but then, you know, Villa at the moment, you know, struggling, you know, losing to United today. Ollie Watkins now 3 blanks in a row. Brentford at home, Leeds away. These are all fixtures where I'd suggest you'd want Harry Kane. And would you want anybody else from Spurs though? And would you get behind this kind of how am I trying to say it? For Spurs between now and end of the season, it's all about performances, isn't it?
Yes.
Ryan Mason has got to Spurs have got to show to the fans that you can go into the summer and into next season on a positive.
Yeah.
And by doing 4 wins in a row here, that would do that.
Yeah.
And all the Newcastle and Liverpool crap would be forgotten.
But even this game, today, at the end of it, towards, you know, the second half, it was the Spurs fans you could hear. There was, and watching it at home, even when I thought we were going to lose 3-2, I was texting my mum, and I was like, I feel quite positive, weirdly, about this game, because we came positive out so badly for the first 20 minutes. And then we fought hard and we've played quite well. And we've got a couple back. And I feel like going into the Palace game, that's another positive. And then we can move forward again. And like you say, the last four fixtures are nice. And this week, I had some big decisions to make with my team, because I did have the two free transfers. Mm. And I could have afforded to take Kane down to Isak, and then to upgrade Saka to Salah. So that was a decision I had to make. So did I want to sell Kane, or did I want to compromise slightly and get Gakpo over Salah, but hold Kane for the remainder of the season, knowing that I can get Isak next week for Watkins?
Yeah.
And that's the decision that I made in the end, was that I think that there's enough with Gakpo that I think he'll get...
Done well today after watching.
I did. Yeah. There's enough security of starts, because he has been, outside of Salah, the most secure of the Liverpool front players in terms of minutes and starts.
He's the one in that nine position that Klopp fancies at the moment. We've already heard the comments about Darwin Nunez. Mm. Don't know whether Klopp kind of sees him as a bit of work in progress and all the rest of it.
And DS might not be able to necessarily do two starts so close together on return from injury, so maybe it's the Jota gets the start.
Yeah, maybe.
And they swear a little bit. They share a little bit in that four position. I don't know, but I'm sure you'll talk more about Liverpool in a moment. Mm. But my feeling was that I felt like Gakpo had, you know, on the back of the goal in midweek, that there was enough attacking threat there that maybe he could not cover Salah necessarily, but that he could get his own attacking returns in the games that you've got him, obviously against us and then against Fulham in midweek. And if Fulham are going to be without Andreas Pereira, which it looks like they very much are, so without him and Mitrovic, goodness knows what could happen in that one. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I want it, and what it came down to is, who do I want more? Do I want Salah for the run-in? Do I want Kane for the run-in? And I felt very much like I wanted Kane because of the feeling that I had with Mason in charge on Thursday evening.
Okay. What about your feeling for other Spurs assets, though? Because Kane is if you've got him, you're holding with those fixtures. I think if you've sold him, you're now behind the sofa to a degree. But Rithwick, thank you, Rithwick, for the super chat. Hayley and Sam, hey, Rithwick. Considering rotation, the bad defence, no double game weeks for Liverpool, and the great attack, but abysmal defence of Spurs, how does Jota to Watkins and Salah to Son sound? So Rithwick is already, it sounds a bit knee-jerky to me, Rithwick, but Salah to Son, and maybe Jota to Watkins to fund it. So
my view, honestly, with Spurs is that the only player that you get guaranteed consistency from is Kane.
Son's been good the last few weeks. He's got a hand it to him. He's cut his few games on a spin now. He's scored.
So two, yeah. Okay. Manchester United and Liverpool, both games in both of those two. What I would say is that he seems to be the one that's bounced the most under Mason.
Yeah.
And the fixtures are nice for that to continue. And he is safe from rotation because it's Kulusevski that's being switched in and out for Richarlison. Them two are the pivot points at Spurs. Mm. And Mason very much favours Son. They were friends where they played together back in the day. So,
and when he's on form, it improves Harry as an FPL asset, definitely. And vice versa, right?
I mean, would I sell both my Liverpool assets?
To Son?
I certainly wouldn't sell Jota to go back to Watkins, but would I sell Jota to, if I didn't have Isak? Yeah. Then yes, I would do Jota to Isak, because then you can cover out the Newcastle double from the attack. Or Callum Wilson, by the way. Let's talk about that later. But if you wanted to get a Newcastle attacker from Jota, and therefore, you know, you wanted to... But then you wouldn't need to necessarily save money, would you? So I
wouldn't be selling Jota right now. I mean, listen, he got benched today because he had a little bit of a knock at West Ham. Comes on, gets the goal. We'll probably play in the second game against Fulham.
But would you hold him over having somebody like a Newcastle attacker who's going to play twice in 36?
I think I would delay that decision until 36. I think I'd have...
Who have you got in 35?
Let's go back to the fixtures. Hold on, then. Let's have a look. So Liverpool's fixtures. Brentford up next in 35 at home. Leicester away in 36, Villa at home, Southampton away. So those are all fixtures. I mean, given that Liverpool are trending towards the top of this chart and the teams above them pretty much all have double game weeks. So outside of teams that have double game weeks, Liverpool's fixtures on paper, according to the Scout ticker, do look pretty good. He's the guy on form. Yes, he got a bit of a knock against West Ham, but comes on, gets the goal. I don't think I'd be selling Diogo Jota now, would you? Even for, I mean, okay, if Isak and Wilson continue to bang them in, which it looks like they're going to, then maybe in 36 I have a look at it. But Newcastle have got Arsenal next, where Liverpool got Brentford at home. Hmm. You'd keep Jota for 35, I think, and make that decision in 36, if you felt so inclined. But listen, you know, Jota going away to Leicester is not exactly a terrible fixture. So that's Spurs. I totally agree with you on Spurs. Kane's the one to go to. I'm already feeling like I need a sofa to hide behind when you play Crystal Palace at home, because he just scores. He scores every week. And if it wasn't for Haaland in FPL this season,
no one would have sold him.
He'd be in every team.
I agree.
And captaincy choice, yeah, most weeks, right? Because we've had a bit of a reliability and trust issues with Mo, haven't we, this year? Whereas we've banged it on Haaland every week. If you could say, you know, if Haaland wasn't here this season, you could say, oh, I've got Kane and he'd get me a goal every week. You just bang the captain on him, auto-captain, wouldn't you? I think I'm a little bit more bullish than you on Son. I do think that, and I was looking at quite a lot of the Spurs Twitter leading up to this game, and there was genuinely reasons to be cheerful, right? Spurs Twitter Spurs Twitter has been awful last few weeks, but genuinely there was a lot of Spurs Twitter saying, I'm really looking forward to this game at Anfield. And there was a lot of Liverpool Twitter knobheads going, oh, you ain't going to win. And Spurs Twitter was saying, well, look, I'm not saying we're going to win. I'm just saying I'm looking forward to the game. And where Spurs have been over the last few weeks, that's a step in the right direction. And a lot of that, I think, is to do with Ryan Mason.
It is massively. We love Ryan Mason.
And when you talk about Spurs emotionally being in a better place, that to me says Son is in a better place. Son is a highly, highly emotional player. That's why Klopp likes him, right? And that's why I've always said I'd have him over Harry at Liverpool. I know you think that's bonkers. I've always said I'd have Son over Harry because I think he and Klopp would work so well. So if you're chasing in your mini leagues, guys, having Son for the remainder of the season, I don't think it's bad at all. I don't think it's bad at all.
I just think if you are choosing a Spurs player because you have none,
yeah,
and we're starting to find a little bit of pride in ourselves again, because Ryan Mason is an absolute legend.
Yeah.
Then,
but if you've got Haaland, Isak, Wilson, Jota, there's a lot of options up front, right? I'm not saying don't have Kane. You've got Kane, that's cool. But if for whatever reason you've sold him, how do you get back into Spurs if you want to go back to Spurs? It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe Son is the answer.
I mean, but this is, yeah, absolutely, it's difficult. And this is why I didn't do the Salah move this week. And I'll have to obviously hide behind a sofa when Salah's playing. But I got Gakpo instead, who feels okay.
So do you feel that the opposite to that could work? So could ex-Kane owners, like you're saying, I get behind the sofa for Salah, but I've got Gakpo. I could do the same, I've got Son.
You could, yes. But the thing for me is that if Salah returns, then there's a chance it's not Gakpo that's involved in that play.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, it could be Trent, it could be Robertson, it could be Jota, who gets the assist.
Yeah.
Whereas if Son returns, you know it's Kane. And you'd bet on Kane also getting the goal himself as well. And I think that's the thing for me, is that I think what we'll find between now and the end of the season is that Kane will outscore Son by a margin.
Cool.
Whereas I think with Salah and Gakpo, that margin will be smaller.
All right, and from a Liverpool perspective, we've spoken about Salah and Gakpo and Jota, but the returning Luis Diaz gets a goal today and popped up with a goal. So what do you think about him as a potential differential going into the remaining four games?
Well, this is why I'm not so... When you were saying I wouldn't sell Jota, this is why I'm not so sure about I wouldn't sell Jota. Because I think that Salah and Gakpo seem to be pretty locked in those positions because they're playing so well, which basically leaves one position for Luis Diaz, Jota, Darwin, and Firmino if he's fit and available. Hopefully he will be fit for you for a couple of games because you want to see him out in a nice way at the end. I do worry, if I was a Jota owner, I would be worried about that rotation, and I'd worry about it from a Luis Diaz perspective. Like, I think it'll be interesting to see how Liverpool set up against Fulham in this second game, because I think, and I might be wrong, that Luis Diaz, will he risk starting him again, like in the next one? Has he started him in this one because Jota had a knock in the last one and he wants to kind of protect Jota a little bit.
Mm.
So might we see the flip of that in the Fulham game? I think we probably will. I think Jota will probably get the start and then Luis Diaz will come on 60 minutes or somewhere around there.
He definitely faded.
He's not got the match finished yet.
You'd expect that. He's been out since October, but definitely along the hour mark he faded. But certainly for that first 20 minutes where we were amazing.
He was great.
He was the catalyst for it.
Yeah, it
and
great.
I have to say, there was, you know, for that, I agree with your summary of the game, right? For 20 minutes, Spurs were bad, but credit to Liverpool. We were sensational.
Were good.
And Trent coming inside in that inverted fullback role, you just couldn't deal with him. He was amazing. Absolutely brilliant. He got the assist for the Curtis Jones goal. And I have to say, Curtis Jones, who I've been a little bit critical of in the past, as you guys know, I think he slows the play down a bit too much, but he was very good as well. In the whole of the first half, actually, particularly in that first 20 minutes. So Liverpool, brilliant for 20 minutes. The goal definitely changed it. Your goal definitely changed it because you could feel, certainly the Liverpool fan base were just like, oh, here we go, another mistake. Harry scored, you know, and you are always going to get a goal at some stage, right? And even at 3-1, I kept saying to you, didn't I, we will give you chances. We'll give you chances. And it was almost as if we would just sort of let you back into the game. And Spurs just grew and grew in confidence. We took the foot off the pedal quite a lot in terms of the intensity. I personally do think Ollie Skip, I can't believe that VAR didn't have a look at that in second half. I also can't believe that Jota didn't get the red for the high boot because it's claret all over his face, Skip, isn't there? So both are reds in my opinion.
I mean,
both are reds.
Jota's not intentionally kicked him in their face. He's not been violent and aggressive.
He's put his boot up high,
but his boot's high, and if you've got a high boot that cut somebody above their eye,
yeah,
it's got to be a red. But I think Skip should have gone before anyway. So probably both of us should. And actually, the manager should have gone as well. So you should have had your manager off, and you should have had Jota, and we should have had Skip. So could have been a very different game had those two things happened.
Well, he's pulled his hamstring, Klopp. I don't know if you've seen this. Have you done his hamstring?
Well,
he
deserves it. He deserves it. He should have been sent off. Can't behave like that. You're supposed to, I know it's pride and passion and all of that, but really, Klopp.
Yeah. Well, listen, at the end of the day, we've got lucky because it's a mistake by poor old Lucas Moura that's let Jota in. He's making a bit of a habit of that, isn't he, Moura? Didn't he come on and get sent off the other week?
Yeah, and it's a real shame actually with Lucas Moura because he was so brilliant for us for so many seasons. He was great, and this is his last, and he's going to go out with an absolute whimper rather than with the bang that he maybe deserved because of all the. I mean, you think back to that Champions League hat trick and all of that stuff. He was phenomenal, and but equally, he's been injured for such a long part of the season, so he doesn't have the match fitness. He's behind the kind of the level that he needs in terms of pace of the game. And he makes a mistake again.
Yeah.
Last one cost him a red card. This one's cost a goal. It's a shame.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Torben Nielsen. Thank you, Torben, for the question in the chat. Lydia, who do you think will play the most minutes? Diaz, Jota or Gakpo?
Good question.
From now until the end of the season. I think it'd be Diogo Jota. I think Diogo Jota is the key to unlocking that front three. I think the way that he presses, I think Klopp loves it. I think if we'd have had him and Diaz available all season, we'd be in a better position than we're at, quite frankly. Mm. Diaz is going to be up there. Gakpo's going to get a lot of minutes. I keep going back to if you're chasing in your mini leagues, and I go back to the Son example, I wouldn't hesitate to have a bet on Luis Diaz. Diaz is going to get plenty of time between now and the end of the season. He's not going to be in any dead teams. Not going to be many of the top 100k that have got him yet, because everyone's focused on Jota, probably Salah as well. But Luis Diaz, I think, is a brilliant option between now and the end of the season because we know what he can do. And Klopp likes him because of his pressing, his aggressive pressing that we just have been missing. We've been missing that for a long, long time. Anyway, all goes to say, in the end, I think a draw would absolutely have been fair because we were fantastic for 20 minutes and you were terrible for 20 minutes. And then you were very, very good for an hour and we were awful for an hour. And it was just a Lucas Moura mistake that cost us in the end, that cost Spurs in the end, let's say. So Liverpool 4, Spurs 3. Let's move it on from the FPL derby, FPL family derby, and let's move it back to Fulham 1, City 2. What do we make of this game, Sam? Because if we look at the fixtures again, Man City right up there, Leeds, Everton, then the double, finishing off with Brentford away. So is this now going to be a procession for City until the end of the season, or could Fulham have got something from this game? They potentially could have.
So I think the answer to both those questions is yes. I think it is going to be a procession for Man City. I think it's theirs. I think they win in midweek. And then they march on, and by the time we get to game week 37, it's done, and it's their trophy. I think Fulham, on a different day, and going back into the changing rooms, will feel a little bit aggrieved that they didn't get something from that game. Typical Man City, lack of clean sheet, one goal, blimmin' annoying when you've got Edison or a Stones or, you know, a Kanji, these types
Edison
of players.
Edison has got
teams.
To be such a frustrating owner in FPL. They only had one shot on target.
I know.
He didn't save it.
And it's so annoying, honestly. And it's every week. Every week it's like just one stupid goal conceded and you're kind of like, oh, you're taking the mick.
Nice goal by Vinicius. Could he have saved it? I don't know.
I think... I think that would be unfair on Vinicius to say he could have saved it, because I think it was a good goal from Vinicius. But Fulham will count themselves unlucky that they didn't score more, because they did get into some nice positions and they could have done. I think the problem Fulham have got now moving forward is that Andreas Pereira injury, because they're already without Mitrovic. Now they're going to be without Pereira, and he has been so important for them this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously, if you've got him in your 11 for game week 34, he's now going to miss the Liverpool game, which makes the Liverpool assets even more attractive for the second part of 34. So I think if you've got lots of Liverpool in your teams, then you're probably rubbing your hands a little bit, particularly defensive ones. But yeah, Man City just looking great. I mean, I don't know how many more chances Jack Grealish wanted to be given.
How's he not got any FPL points in this game?
I don't know.
I couldn't believe it as a Grealish owner.
And it wasn't just that. It was the fact that one of them was a Haaland to Grealish, and I was like, what?
Yeah, why? No, right?
And then another one of them was a Grealish to Haaland, and I was like, guys, you're taking the mick now. And then what does he do? He gets booked. And it's like, Jack, what are you doing to us
he
all?
He can't help himself when there's a row. He's got to be involved, isn't he?
He weasels his way over there. Well, there's a row to be had. I'll better be involved in that.
We just missed a super chat, Sam, just before you go on. Miena Sidhorn. Sorry I missed the super chat. And thank you for it, Miena. Sam, did Jules keep Curtis Jones?
Yes, he did.
Did he?
I don't want to go on the pod this week.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
Miena
how...
says, exciting pod this week incoming.
No, don't.
Jules is going to be all over, isn't he?
He's going to be unbearable. The man is going to be so unbearable.
Can you imagine how happy he was when Curtis pops up with the first goal today?
When he popped up with the goal, I said to you, didn't I? He's going to be unbearable. And I was waiting, and I'm still waiting for the message to come that says about Curtis Jones.
You'll get a text.
It hasn't come yet, but I suspect that's because he was at a game. And I think tomorrow morning there'll be a little message that slides into our WhatsApp group that goes, oh, hello, Curtis Jones.
Totally.
We'll just get a meme of Curtis Jones, probably.
Totally.
So, yes, he does still have him. But I think, yeah, Jack Grealish, most frustrating. Riyad Mahrez, I actually thought, played well as well today.
Alvarez was the key, though, wasn't he?
He was, but will he be if KDB is available for the next one?
Yeah, don't know. I think, if anything, it just demonstrated to me how good a camaraderie Pep's got in that in the squad, because Alvarez, he's been playing second fiddle to Haaland for most of the season.
Yeah, but he doesn't mind, it seems.
Doesn't mind, comes in, man of the match performance, in my opinion, and picks up all the FPL points. Absolutely brilliant. And the goal, absolutely top bins. It's a brilliant goal, wasn't it?
I mean, I think if you are a KDB owner and you bought him in this week, obviously he was flagged after the midweek action, but then Pep basically cleared him, because on Friday in the press conferences, he was asked about injuries and he said, the only injury I have is to Ake, who's not available yet.
Yeah.
So I think if you've bought in KDB, you'll feel really aggrieved, because now he's injured and he doesn't know how bad it is, and he doesn't know how long he's out. And he was very flaky when asked about KDB. Mm. So that wouldn't fill me with huge amounts of confidence going into their fixture again in the middle of the week. But I do think that if you did take a punt on Alvarez going into this week, that you're pretty safe with the
fair
start.
Play.
Yeah, for next time as well. Jack Grealish better pick me up some points in the midweek, I'm telling you.
He owes us, isn't he?
He
owes us. Just another quick comment on Fulham as potentially a team to target. You're right to point out the Andreas injury. That, from an FPL perspective, he's sad to see, because he's been brilliant for us in FPL this season, hasn't he? But potentially even bigger loss for Fulham is that Tim Ream, I think, has broke his arm.
I forgot about the Tim Ream injury.
So now Tim Ream, who has been
phenomenal,
absolutely crucial for them this season defensively, is now out for the season. So
yeah, we've probably got a broken arm and a broken leg in that game.
So to that end, I'm sort of looking at the Fulham fixtures
Good
and those that are playing them. So Fulham have got Leicester, Southampton, Crystal Palace, Manchester United. A couple of these teams are fighting for their lives. I wonder whether I mean, again, it's a bit punty, isn't it? Because we're all going to be, I think, largely orienting our teams around, you know, Brighton, Man U, City, Liverpool, double game week teams and players. But I'm looking at, you know, those that are going up against Fulham and thinking, could you have a punt there? Because Fulham have got loads of injuries
and
stuff.
Leicester and Southampton?
I don't know. God, I don't know.
What is that with you tonight? Leicester and Southampton, who would you invest in?
I'm just trying to make FPL interesting for the last 4 weeks. Because my view is that a lot of FPL managers, it's going to be similar teams knocking about, right? There's going to be a template between now and the end of the season. It's going to have three Brighton, and it probably won't be Welbeck and Davin Gross, by the way. It'll be probably the other guys. You're going to have two or three City, two or three United. You probably ain't going to have Chelsea, are you? Let's face it. Sorry, Harry. You're going to have a Liverpool in there. You're going to have Salah, whatever. Probably some Spurs, or some Spurs coverage, Newcastle coverage. Like, and because there's not necessarily any sort of fight for budget, you're going to be able to have largely the team that you want because you're going to be able to have a McAllister and a Mitoma. I'm trying to think, if I were chasing, I'm looking to consolidate rank. I'm looking over my shoulder at you thinking I don't want you chasing me. But if I was you, or if I was in a rank that I didn't want to be in, and I'm thinking, how do I break this mini template that I think is going to be there for the last 4 weeks? And I wonder whether targeting Fulham as a team, I'm just, I don't know, just spitballing here. What do you think? You're not going to get any Leicester or Southampton.
You bring in a Leicester player if you want. I will not be doing that.
Just trying to give some sort of different content here,
I mean,
right?
If you really want to go for a Maddison, then knock yourselves out.
Oh, but I think I've learned my lesson from him.
But I'm certainly not picking a Southampton player because they're pretty much dead.
Right.
I mean, I think Fulham, I do think they will suffer. I do think they will struggle. But they're safe. And I think that they will just, you know, play out till the end of the season now. They're gonna get. When do they get Mitrovic back? Is it 36?
Yeah,
I think he's back for 36. So he's back to beat Southampton.
Yeah, I'm just listen. There's a few people in the chat, and I agree, right?
So they all think you're on something now.
No,
don't they?
So for example, right? Fulham have got Crystal Palace in 37. Now listen to this for Crystal Palace.
Oh, you
want to
get
right?
Zaha?
So you've got Spurs away now. All right, Spurs are improving. We've just talked about that, but still conceding a lot of goals, particularly in the first 5 minutes. Bournemouth at home. Fulham away. We're just talking about how bad Fulham are going to be without the man, the myth, the legend, Tim Ream. And then Forest at home to finish the season for, Roy Hodgson's big, you know, second send-off. Crystal Palace, again, I'm just trying to break the template that we've all got, right? Having a Zaha, having an Ayew, having a, I don't, I'm Eze or an Elise, I'm just...
Have you not been trolled by Zaha enough over these FPL years? Because I'm telling you.
All right, well, listen, let's all us content creators make the same content for the next 4 weeks and go, yes, you should have McAllister in March and you should have Son as a bit of a differential and get Liverpool. It's going to be the same. Everyone's going to have the same team.
That's
no good for people chasing.
So, but I think that there's plenty of differentials in the teams that you do want to invest in. So if you aren't tripled up on Brighton yet, get Sisco in instead. He looks fabulous and he's regularly returning and he's so lowly owned. So get him instead of one of the others. If you want, you know, there's plenty of options at Manchester City with the forward line that you could go to with the midfielders. If you don't want to go with Grealish, you've got Foden who's lowly owned because he's been injured and is regularly coming off the bench and returning points. You can go with Mahrez. At Manchester United, there are loads of differentials that you could go with because really the only one that's highly owned is Rashford. So I think there are plenty of differentials. Newcastle are full of them. Willock, Murphy, Callum Wilson, all of them up there, differentials. So I think that there's loads that you could go to there that aren't going to be trolling you when you pick Zaha and aren't going to be going back to James Maddison, who regularly just upsets everybody by getting no points.
The chats go crazy. No, not Wilf ever again,
yeah,
Webby says. What are you talking about? Whose voice is that you just did, Lee? That was weird. Daniel Banks in saying, great as impression. Amazing. Ignatius, thank you. Bamford is a differential. There we go. This is what we're here for.
Okay,
we're here for the differentials.
Who have Leeds got? What have you seen from Leeds? They're terrible.
We've got City away next.
Oh my God, they are terrible. They are literally awful, Leeds.
Right, let's move on. We've got enough about differentials. Let's all talk about the template. Let's talk about the Brighton 6, Wolves 0.
This is about as far away from the template as you can get. Look at the goal scorers.
Go on then, tell me about this game because I've got some words to say about Wolves in a minute. Oh my God. But go on, what did you think of the game?
Well, Wolves are bad.
Talk about individual errors. Oh my God, did they make some individual errors?
But they are a team.
Goodness me.
That are firmly on the beach.
God, I'll tell you what, there's some great differentials coming in the chat now.
Who we got now?
Aubameyang is a differential. Not going there. Get your best differential in the chat right now. And if you're watching the replay, get in the comments and tell me. I'm going Zaha, my differential for the rest of the season.
It.
We've got Bamford in the chat. We've got Wheelie X, who's gone. He must be smoking something because he's gone Aubameyang as a differential. Let me know. Joe Linton differential. This is what
you
I'm
see,
here for.
But that, this is what that I'm here one for. Makes sense because they've got a double and he is a great differential and he's returning goals and he's regularly starting. That one I'll be on board with. Zaha, I can never be on board with ever again.
We need to get away from the last 4 weeks of boredom in FPL. It's going to be a template, boring finish. It's the last 4 weeks.
I literally can't wait to beat you in these last four this weeks. Is the if last you're four getting weeks. Madison and Zaha in your team, oh. I'll be beating you. You'll be getting that wooden spoon trophy back in a couple of weeks.
Going to go Aubameyang.
Putting
with
it all on Aubameyang. Zaha and Madison, you deserve imagine, to get the wooden spoon.
Imagine playing 36 weeks and like putting so much time and love and tears and sweat into FPL, and then in the last 4 weeks just be like, ah, screw it, Aubameyang, Bamford, Zaha, get in my team.
Did something happen to you while I was putting Max to bed? Like, did you bash your head?
Just pleased we won a game, Sam. I don't know if you knew we won a game.
Yeah, I know.
Brighton
you were paying
six,
the bum.
Brighton 6, Wolves 0. Go on then. Tell me about this.
Brighton were good, and I think.
Brighton were good.
I think what was really interesting and became quite clear from that game is that some of their players are real, real tired. And when you give them a rest, the likes of McAllister and Mitoma, yeah. particularly yeah. McAllister because of the World Cup and Mitoma as well, when you give them a rest and then you play players that haven't really had a chance, a lot of them so far this season, and by that I'm meaning Ndove mostly, but also Welbeck because he's had some injuries and he's coming back from that. And then Sisco, who hasn't been there that long and is finally getting
nice
kind of a chance.
Like him.
And is really good. You know,
one to watch next season.
Oh, definitely.
And Sisco.
Yeah, definitely. Once you get that, then fresh legs in that team.
Diego Costa, differential for the rest of the chat's gone crazy.
Who said Diego Costa?
Daniel Banks. Costa's going to get 10 goals as a differential.
Foster? Isn't he at Wrexham?
No, Costa.
Oh, Costa.
Not Foster.
I was like, he's at Wrexham.
Not Ben Foster.
How's he going to score from Wrexham? I know they've been promoted, but my goodness.
I'd back Ben Foster to get more goals than Diego Costa between now and the end of the season.
Go
on, so Wolves, individual errors all over the place. But yes, you're right. Top management from De Zerbi.
And I think that's going to massively benefit us. So what am I expecting to see from Brighton in the middle of the week? Because, of course, Brighton... No, normally at this point of the season, we go, oh, yeah, great, because they've only got one game a week between yes. now and the end. Brighton don't have that because they've got another yeah. game this week, then they've got 35, then they've got 36 where they've got two, then they've got 37 where they've got two.
Hey, Brighton fans, get used to it. So, he's probably going to be playing European football some description next season.
But the point I'm making is that Brighton, they needed to have a game where they... So I was thoroughly annoyed to see Mitoma and McAllister both bench because they were yeah. my two attacking players.
Absolutely.
Particularly when they riot. It's like, oh my God, come on now. However, I think that that does put us in a nice position with those guys going into the midweek match.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
I do think it does give us a little bit of a quandary now for the final weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Because we were all quite... what's the word? Solid, maybe, in our March Mitoma McAllister.
Yeah.
Pick two of them picks with a Stupinian or Steele. Whereas now, it's kind of like, oh, hang on.
These guys have made a case now.
These guys have made a case. Yeah. And with so many fixtures still to come midweek, you know, Wednesday, Saturday, for the foreseeable, you might see De Zerbi do this a bit more often. Now, will he do wholesale changes? Maybe not. But will he play one of these each time and give them a chance? Probably. So I think you just have to accept that in a double game week with your Brighton assets, you might get one start
yeah.
and 30 minutes, like we saw with McAllister and Mitoma
yeah.
this time around. But
target
yeah.
Wolves or no? Is this just a...
Maybe.
And I can tell you, I saw the post-match with Lopetegui
on
Match of the Day. Oof, I'd be surprised if they make any individual errors in the next game because he was not an happy bunny, I can tell you.
No, he really
wasn't.
And also, they haven't been that bad recently, Wolves. But this was just a terrible individual mistakes, yeah. left, right and centre. So, yeah, you can target them. But I think that the key for me in the running is not to target teams like Wolves and even Southampton.
Target Fulham, that's what I'm saying.
No, and even to target Southampton, I wouldn't be doing that. I'm just looking at the fixtures and picking the players and the teams with the best run.
Okay.
I think that's going to be more important than trying to go, oh, who's got Wolves this week? Let's pick Patrick Bamford or whoever's got Wolves next.
Okay, another talking point that we've got to discuss is Newcastle. So for a little while in this game, it was looking a little bit shaky for the tone, wasn't it? But the quality shone through and Callum Wilson popped up in a week when a lot of us had gone for Isaac, me in particular. I saw that assist that he didn't get in the previous game, and he completely made that goal for Jacob Murphy. He was unreal, and I just thought coming into this game, he's the one that looks full of confidence. He's had a bit of a rest, but it was Callum Wilson that gets the goals, and Wilson was top for shots amongst the game week with 6. I've got all my stats here, as usual, from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. You guys can see that on the screen. If you're not a member yet at Fantasy Football Scout, is the free trial still on?
Yeah,
free trial still on. So all the links are in the description below. As I always say, we use all the stats, all the insight that we get from the Fantasy Football Scout website, and particularly the members area. That is where it is at. And that's where I get most of these stats about Callum Wilson. Top for shots with 6 in the game week. Welbeck was next with 5. Trippier, as I mentioned before in the live stream, bit unlucky not to get any points. A high XA for Trippier in this game week with 5 chances created and with 16 crosses made. So, yeah, listen, from a Newcastle perspective, let's just have a look at their fixtures. Of course, they've... let's go to here.
The other thing to say while you're just getting them up is that Callum Wilson only played 45 minutes.
Correct.
So to be top for chances across the game, or top for shots across the game,
yeah.
is remarkable in 45 minutes.
Absolutely. So it's Arsenal up next, of course, in 35, which is...
big game.
Big game, and I find that one difficult to call, actually.
I don't.
We'll see how it goes.
I think Newcastle will win that game.
Then they've got the double game week in 36, including that game against Brighton, which is also a difficult-looking game on paper. Then Leicester and then Chelsea away on the final game. So, yeah, would you call that a mixed bag for Newcastle? Would you say that is that's a pretty good-looking fixtures, particularly those home ones?
I think they're good fixtures. I think they'll beat Arsenal. I think of them, Brighton is the hardest game that they've got between now and the end of the season. Oof. I think the Chelsea game...
Savage on Arsenal, right?
No, I just think that Arsenal are in a bit of a malaise at the moment, for using your word that you love right now.
Yeah.
And I think that Newcastle are just in a moment. They're in a momentum. And the great thing about them right now, not so great from an FPL perspective, but great from a Newcastle perspective, is that, you know, they've got Isak and Wilson, who they're able to swap in and out. And
thank you for the super chat, Duncan. Duncan Crawford, one of our long-term Patreon supporters. So thank you, Duncan, for the super chat. Exactly that question, Sam. Isak and Wilson for the double up, he's saying. I'm strongly considering it. Newcastle absolutely scoring for fun at the moment, which they are. Very interesting, this, because historically this season we've seen how defensively good they've been. But now the tide has turned. They're shipping the odd goal, but they are scoring for fun. Is Trippier still essential? We'll cover that in a second. But Isak and Wilson on the double up. See, how do you feel about this?
I quite like it.
I don't mind
it. My issue with it is that I'd have to tell Kane. We know how I feel about that.
Yeah. Because you ain't selling Haaland.
Because you don't know, exactly.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Newcastle is that whether you go with Wilson or Isaac, it kind of always feels like you might pick the wrong one. And if you just pick one, you're going to sit on it. I think over the remaining four matches that they've got 5. Over the remaining 5 matches that they have left, I think what we'll see is that roughly Isak and Wilson will come out there and thereabouts in terms of the points, because one of them gets them 1 week, the other one seems to get them the next. So they're sort of sharing them, if you like. So if you get both, then you guarantee you're going to hit them, which is great. And, you know, that's a nice place to be. I think for me, it's the fact that it takes up the front 3 spots, 2 of them.
Yeah.
What I'm looking at is getting one of them. And the question is which one, because I was all about Isak. But actually, the performances for the last 2 matches have made me really reevaluate and kind of look at Callum Wilson a little bit and go, well, maybe this is a way for me to differentiate my team from Lee, because obviously I want to catch up.
36 is going to be a popular time to do it as well, because Spurs going away to Villa. Of course, you back Kane in any game. We've seen that. But away to Villa on paper, difficult looking fixture. Whereas Newcastle boys have got Leeds and Brighton with that Brighton at home game. I mean, you can see why a few people might go Kane to Wilson to double up with Isak and go in 36. You could see that. Maybe not in 35 with the Arsenal game sitting there, but in the double in 36, you could see.
You could. I think the thing you could also do, though, is look at the midfield. Because in the midfield, right, didn't necessarily get anything from them today. But over the last couple of weeks, we've seen really great performances from the likes of Murphy and Willock and Joe Linton. And there are a number of options there that you could go with as a kind of real differential route into Newcastle that fits into your midfield five a little bit easier, depending upon what your
Willock,
structure is.
Jacob
like.
Murphy, people like that. You've just been digging me out for going for like Zaha and tried and trusted FPL assets like Wilf Zaha, and you're going Jacob Murphy?
Well, hang on.
Give
stop.
Me a break.
Rewind. When has Zaha ever been trusted in FPL?
Tried and trusted. He's got a track record
of being rubbish.
For over 300 Premier League appearances, Wilf Zaha, and you're going with Willock. Do me a favour.
I bet Haaland's got more FPL points this season than Zaha's got in his whole FPL career.
Could be true.
I mean, honestly, you get Zaha. You just do that.
I might do.
But I think...
So not selling Kane, all right, I understand that because it's you, but what about selling Watkins for one of these guys?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. The question is which one, and I think it is quite hard to call. But the other reality is I think they're both going to get a relatively similar number of minutes and they're going to get a relatively similar number of opportunities and points. So my feeling is you just pick one of them, except that the other one probably is going to wind you up by getting some points, but your one will also do that too.
Okay. All right, let's move on then. And before we do, Botman with an assist. Oh, yes, let's answer Duncan's question. Yeah, is Trippier still essential? Before we do that, a quick shout out to Sven Botman owners. He was top for XG underachievers this week with an XG of 1.18, and his delta was obviously 1.18 because he got the assist and not a goal. And I haven't seen that incident. I suspect it was... did he have a very high XG chance that ended up being deflected off of somebody else or something, right? Yeah, but we've got to watch the highlights for that game because it wasn't on TV here in the UK. But I'm interested to see why Sven Botman is at 1.18 XG, which is insane. Is Trippier still essential? Yes or no? What are we saying?
I find this question really hard because you just know if you sell Trippier that suddenly there's going to be a wealth of opportunity.
He ain't got an assist for ages though, is he?
Hasn't got an assist for ages. I think it's like one attacking return in like, it's ages.
But these underlying stats, this is what we got as FPL
but you
managers.
You have to get away from that sometimes.
But you can't in FPL. You look at the chances created, look at the cross he's put in, you're like, God, he's due, isn't he? He's due.
Well, but he's been due for a while. Like, how many weeks do you hold him? Five clean, like he's not had a clean sheet. Is that six now? I think that might be six
possibly.
Without a clean sheet now.
Yeah, possibly.
So, like, you're looking
at him. Leaking goals.
And it's tough because, you know, even against Spurs when they were absolutely excellent, they still leaked a goal. They've conceded to Southampton today, who aren't exactly free scoring at the best of times. So
are you saying he's a sell then?
Well, I'm not really sure what to do with him. The other thing I pondered on this week was selling Gabriel for Botman. But I'd have only benched Botman anyway because I didn't want to lose a double L or Kane for that matter from my starting 11. But then I was really, and I said this to you, didn't I? I was really torn on the Newcastle double up defensively because the clean sheets just haven't been sticking.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good opportunity for the double up attack wise because that's where all the points come in right now.
Yes.
I think you have to hold Trippier.
Not a priority sell.
Because I don't think he's a priority sell and he's on set pieces and he has a double game week. But I think if you don't have him or you're wildcarding, you could potentially make some changes there and go with Botman or Shah instead of him.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Simon with the super chat. Thank you, Nigel the Crab. My wife's team has Isak and Wilson, so she's already doubled up. It's been absolute dynamite. She's also got Joe Linton. There we go. Nice differential. Hope you're well, Bonfields. Yes, we are, mate. Thank you very much.
Nearly got divorced earlier, but otherwise
only minus 12 for Simon this week, by the way. Very conservative.
I mean, I must admit that
very conservative.
After
disappointingly conservative.
A little bit, because we've had two lots of minus 28s on the back.
Yeah.
Or on the back. On the bounce. What is wrong with me today? So to only get minus 12 feels a little bit upsetting.
Absolutely.
So I'm quite intrigued to see what he's going to do for 35 though, because it's just a normal game week. So will we get...
Who knows?
Properly rogue side?
Who knows what we're going to get? Who knows? Let's talk about what other games we want to discuss. I mean, United 1, Villa 0. We've not seen it. Wasn't on TV here in the UK. So we haven't seen the highlights. Got to catch match of the day for that. But... that's three blanks on the spin for Ollie Watkins. So, you know, if you want to buy into this narrative of going into Isak or Wilson or both and sacrificing Watkins, I can see why you'd maybe get into that. Are Aston Villa just running out of steam a little bit, or are they just kind of in mid-table preparing for next season kind of mode?
I don't think they are. I think, like, So Watkins hasn't returned in the last three, but Villa have still been good. So like, I haven't seen this game. I don't know how Villa were. My suspicion is that Manchester United, from watching what was happening on SofaScore as we were watching the Manchester United game and looking at other places, Manchester United seemed to be very unlucky not to have done more than they did. I think it was more about them than it was about Aston Villa going away. I think Manchester United are keen to secure their Champions League spot for next season, which is absolutely the right thing. And off the back of not getting the 3 points against Spurs on Thursday evening, I think they'd have wanted to go into this one and see it out.
Yeah. I think Wolves next for Aston Villa, so you ain't selling ahead of that, are you?
I don't think it's a priority sell ahead of Wolves, because if they start making more individual mistakes again, then Watkins can get in there. But I think there are a number of players at Aston Villa who have been really good recently. So Watkins maybe has just ended his purple patch. That seems to be where we are. And the swap to a Newcastle attacker feels very on.
Mm, but not next week, because they've got Wolves and Newcastle got Arsenal. But in the double game week, yeah, can see it. Can see it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that... See, I'm not that sure that not doing it next week is not the right thing. Okay. Arsenal aren't keeping clean sheets. And I think that Wolves surely get an absolute rocket this week and maybe try and be better.
Yeah, quite possibly. Quite possibly. All right, let's get on to how our teams are doing so far this game week, Sam. But before we do, a quick shout out to all of our patrons. As usual, there are loads of them in, including Duncan and Simon and Harry and all of you guys that support us over on patreon.com. So thank you very much. patreon.com/FPL families, where you can find all of the details for supporting us over on Patreon. If you'd like additional podcasts, if you'd like to take part in our Manager of the Month monthly competition, or if you'd like one-to-one Zooms with Sam and I to talk about your team, then that is where you can go and find out about all of the details around that. So patreon.com/FPL family. And talking of and Slack access as well. We should not forget the Slack access to our Slack community as well. But talking of the Manager of the Month, here is the standings of the April Manager of the Month. Obviously, this is before game week 34, because we've still got obviously a few games to go in 34. But we've got James Matthews at the top with 425 points. Very, very good, James. Omar is in with 424, so it's pretty close at the top. And former champion Nathan Joblin is in with 421. All three of those guys having very good seasons. Nathan in particular is up in the top, I think, 2 or 3K. I think he's doing very, very well. Very
Nathan's
well. So
been up there before. He's a pro.
He knows what he's doing, that lad. He knows what he's doing. But James currently is leading the way with 425 points. So congratulations to James. And hopefully those guys are doing very well in the remainder of Game Week 34, so they can fight it out for the opportunity to be called Manager of the Month in April. All right, Sam, let's talk about your team. A green arrow this week. So 3.29% up to 97K, 57 points. It's all right.
It's all right. I'm looking at it on my phone rather than over there, because I can't really see what I'm looking at over there. Gakpo, Saka for Gakpo was my transfer. That's already feels like a good thing, because obviously I know that Saka hasn't played yet and could riot against Chelsea on Tuesday evening, but Gakpo's going to get another... Well, at least some minutes against
Fulham. Tim Reamless Fulham.
Yeah, and a Pereira-less Fulham. So yeah. I think, you know, he could do well in that one. So I'm pleased with him. We've discussed my Brighton midfielders. They were a frustration, but Estupiñán, nice to see him get something. And Trent, of course, with another assist was nice. My front two, I mean, they're just legends, aren't they, the pair of them? They're just constantly returning. And Rashford with the assist was nice. I feel frustrated by Grealish, as I mentioned earlier. But so far, so good. Taken 4 points off you so far, so that's closed the gap from 21 to what, 17.
Very good.
So we're getting closer. I think going into the next fixtures, obviously I've got a number still to play again. My three Brighton guys, my two Liverpool guys, my three City guys, and then Rashford. So it feels like a good opportunity for some more points in there, particularly Trent and Gakpo. I think if I don't get some more out of them, I'll be disappointed with the type of team that Fulham are going to have to put out against them.
Yeah, it feels like that team, as long as Salah doesn't go off, you're all right.
If Salah
is the key, isn't
if
it?
Salah stays quiet and KDB is still missing,
yeah,
then it
is
feels...
Is he that highly on KDB? I don't
he's
think
gone
he's...
up quite a bit
is
recently,
a bit? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if he's still missing and Salah stays quiet, then it should
right.
be a good... week.
You're right. All right, so 57 so far, and of course plenty still to play, as you can see on the screen. Same points for me, so 57, although I have got that hit, so my net score is actually 53. Total points 2238, overall rank 62k, so I'm down 9%, which is basically my hit, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's my hit. Because that's what I went up, wasn't it?
Yeah, so you've gone up a bit because you didn't take a hit, and I've gone down a bit because I did take a hit. What is there to say different to your team? Not much, really, because it's kind of the same. De Gea with the clean sheet was very welcome. That was a sneaky little differential for me. I was sitting there. Obviously, I'm kind of hoping that Villa score from a Liverpool perspective. But then equally, I'm like, well, if De Gea keeps a clean sheet, I'd be pretty happy with that. My two Brighton boys not starting in midfield. Yeah, that's a bit of a shame. But like you, I think that they will now start against Manchester United at home. I don't have too much issue with that.
I mean, I'd rather have them started against Wolves.
Yeah, because they'd have feasted, I think, against the Wolves. But listen, you know, if you're De Zerbi, of those two games, you've got to rotate your squad and manage your players.
He's done the right thing. I feel like I would rather have had it the other way around.
He's not thinking about us FPL managers, is he?
Why on earth not?
Goodness me.
He's probably got Zaha in his FPL team.
So De Gea with the 6 points was a nice differential. Estupinan's assist and clean sheet was very welcome as well. The assist as well was such a sort of looping cross, should easily be dealt with, but Danny Welbeck got up well for the header, didn't he? And then Salah in with the 7, Haaland is kind of much of a muchness, Isak there with the assist. So yeah, I'm kind of okay with it, right? It's not massive either way. 57 points minus 4. We'll just see how we get on for the rest of the game week. And between you and I, it's basically going to be my De Gea, Robbo and Salah playing your Edison, Trent and Gakpo, isn't it? That's basically it, because Grealish, Rashford, Matoma, McAllister, Estupinan.
We've all got.
And Haaland captain, we're the same, aren't we?
So Gakpo's going to riot.
Trent versus Robbo, I'd back Trent based on how he's playing. I've got Brighton away as my goalkeeper, whereas yours at home to West Ham, so back your goalkeeper.
Well, would you?
But so I need Salah to save me from you catching me even further, I would suggest. Saying that is Edison, isn't it? So who knows? Who knows? So anyway, interesting game week. Lots of FPL action still to come. Lots of FPL action still to come. But yeah, guys, 4 weeks to go. We are quickly getting to the end of this season. It's gone. I think it's gone really fast this season. I don't know whether it's like suddenly we're on game week 35 and you're like, what? Where's that come from?
Yeah, because I felt like it wasn't, like when I think about it, like it doesn't feel like it was that long ago that it was game week 17. Like up until the World Cup, like, you know, reasonable length. All of a sudden, I feel like I was looking at something the other day and I was like, right, game week 17. And then I was like, I was on the members area putting the range in from 17. And it always feels like that's like a couple of games ago.
Totally.
We're on 34 now. It's madness.
Totally. Still nearly going to be end of season time. Tell us what's coming up this week, Sam. I'm assuming you're going to be fantasy podcasts again with Jules and Kelly, because I feel like there's one of them every couple of days. I thoroughly enjoyed your man Rob Green.
Yeah.
I thought that pod was really, really good. And Kelly have got this really little bit of chemistry going, and Jules in particular cracked me right up. So if you haven't checked out the official FPL podcast with Sam, with Jules and with Kelly Summers, and they're getting a guest on every other week, it's top. It's really, really good, as is the Off the Bench podcast, where actually you three aren't on it, but you get a couple of us from the community, like me and Harry and Gianni and a few others go on there to do that podcast as well. So that definitely, if you're not subscribed, you're not following the official fantasy podcast, that is definitely one to go and get in your bookmarks.
Yeah, it's Off the Bench is Gianni and Praz this week. It's been recorded on Tuesday morning, so after the Leicester and Everton game that we're all so highly invested in. And clearly Lee's scouting because he's really obsessed with Leicester at the moment.
Differentials, baby.
So that'll be on Tuesday. And then the main pod will be out on Thursday this week. I'm not sure actually who the guest is this week, but yeah, Jules will be back if we can shut him up for long enough to let anyone else speak.
On there with his Curtis Jones pick, no doubt. No doubt.
Just unbearable.
Loving it.
Obviously, we'll be back with Ohana. We'll actually be able to do Ohana together again. We've had a couple of weeks where we haven't been able to do it together because Lee was doing his kickboxing grading 1 week and then I was at Spurs this week, so we haven't been able to record them together. So we've had to have individual solo ones, and I kind of miss the craziness that is an Ohana together. So they'll be out this week. We'll do some more voice notes as well and drop them on our podcast channels, and obviously, we'll still be on social media over the course of the week too.
There we go. Loads of content, guys. Loads of content. Thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family for a middle of the game week stream, which is kind of, it's always a bit difficult to know how much to talk about the following game weeks. But I think one of the key topics between now and the end of the season, how do we break this mini template? We're going to have these four game weeks of template Brighton, template Newcastle, template City, template United. And I've just got a little end of season feeling for a Zaha or a little end of season feeling for a Joe Linton or something like that.
Are you all right?
I feel like a bit of a differential.
There's loads of differentials at Brighton and Newcastle, and you want to go Zaha, you absolute lunatic.
Zaha to finish the season. There we go. Guys, thank you for joining us tonight. Leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're new around here, and we'll see you this time next week for another FPL Fab League. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.